Go ahead and take your Bibles this evening. Open up to the book of Daniel, chapter number 7. Remember, if you don't have your Bible with you and you'd like to follow along, there's a Bible right in front of you in your pews in between your hymnals. You might like to look at it tonight as we go through these verses. On Wednesday nights, we go verse by verse, chapter by chapter through a different book of the Bible. And this time of the year, or at least right now, we're going through the book of Daniel. And remember, the first six chapters was mostly about the prophet. The last six are mostly about prophecy. And so we're going through this wonderful passage of Scripture dealing with the prophecies of the future times and the times coming. In Daniel chapter number 7, it tells us all the history of man from the time of Daniel all the way to when the Lord Jesus Christ receives and establishes his own eternal kingdom. It's a monumental sweep of prophetic history from Daniel's day all the way toward the day and time when Christ sets up his eternal kingdom. A lot of things inside this chapter. We've already spent a few weeks in this chapter, and we're going to do something a little different tonight. We're going to look at the verses and give you a short commentary on all the verses, and then we're going to go to the main part of the message. And the main part of the message is we're going to look at Christ's future, or Christ's coming kingdom. So we're going to go all the way through the rest of Daniel chapter number 7, do a little commentary, make sure we put it in place, so that way we can make sure we get all the way done chapter number 7 tonight. And then we're just going to give you a couple thoughts about why Christ is worthy to reign in his future eternal kingdom, and whether we are really truly serving the one who is worthy. Let's look here in Daniel chapter number 7. Verse number 13 is where we're going to start off tonight. Just to remind you, last week we kind of laid out the prophetic calendar. We talked about what happens next on the prophetic calendar would be the rapture. And that's when Jesus Christ calls his church home, takes the Christians out of this place. And then after the rapture is something that we called ruin. And when we talk about the ruin, we were talking about the great tribulation, talking about the ruining of the earth and the judgment that falls upon the unrepentant, ungenerate people. We also then talked about the return of Christ. After those 7 years of ruin, Christ returns in the clouds. And then we see a reign of a 1,000-year millennial reign, which is a portion of what we'll talk about tonight. And then we finally see the restoration. So we got those 5 R's, and we'll talk about those often as we go through. And tonight it will be mostly focused on that reign of his eternal kingdom. But we're going to try to get all the way through verses 13 through 28 tonight. Like I said, if you're interested in what's going to happen in future times and future events, this is a great chapter of the Bible to get your knowledge from. Here in verses 13 and 14, the Bible says, I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man. Who's the Son of Man? It's Jesus Christ. Came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and he brought him near before him. Now, in this passage of Scripture, we looked at this last week. We talked about, remember when Jesus was on trial, he taught the high priest, said he adjured them by the living God, and he says, are you the Messiah? And he says, you'll see him coming in the clouds. And he's quoting here, verse number 13. Verse 14, it says, and it was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. And we looked at this 4 kingdoms beforehand in verses 1 through 9, and looked how each of them will meet their end and meet their demise, but Jesus Christ's kingdom will last forever and ever. Verse number 15, we see here, it says, I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit in the midst of my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. So you see here in verses 15 that these visions troubled him. They disturbed Daniel. And remember that they troubled Nebuchadnezzar in chapter number 2 with a similar vision. Verse number 16, it says, I came near unto the one that stood by and asked him the truth of all this. You say, the one who stood nearby. Who are you referring to here? It's talking about a heavenly creature that's here. It's talking about him coming and asking for an explanation. Remember, he is seeing this in a vision. He's seeing himself as he stood by. It's him watching. And he asked him the truth of all this. The truth of all what? The vision he's seen in verses 1 through 14. And it says, so he told me and made me know the interpretation of the things. Now, we've been talking a lot in the first 9 verses about these different kingdoms. And we use a lot of it from these passages of scriptures as it interprets itself. Here in verse number 17, he begins to give the explanation to Daniel and says, these great beasts, which are 4, are four kings which shall rise out of the earth. Remember, these beasts represent the four kings. Remember how they're also referred to as kingdoms. You cannot separate the king and the kingdom. It's a philosophy, but also represents, remember how we talked about the lion creature, the head of gold was Babylon. How the bear, which is in verse number 4, I believe, represented the Medo-Persian Empire. The leopard-like creature represents the Greek Empire. And that indescribable beast that Daniel was interested in, with the one that had the legs of iron and the other vision, is Rome and the 10 toes and the 10 horns it had. Here in verse number 18, it says, "But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever." Now, I think it's important you understand, you see that word saints. Most people say, okay, I know who that's at. That's the New Testament Christians. But that's not what they're talking about here. Remember, this is the Old Testament. They're referring to the saints being the Israelites, the believing Jews, that is the remnant during that time period. Remember, during this point in time, where is the church? Church is up in heaven. It's been taken out in this vision time. So I believe this is referring to the believing remnant of Jews, because you're going to see here that the Antichrist is going to begin to attack them. Verse number 18, it says, "But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever and ever, even forever and ever," talking about Christ's millennial reign. "And then I would know the truth of the fourth beast." Now, Daniel here in verse number 19, he says, look, that's not a good enough explanation. I don't care about the other three beasts. I want to know more about this fourth beast. So he says this to this heavenly creature. He says, "Then I would know the truth of the fourth beast, which was diverse from all the others." How this one was different. "It was exceeding dreadful, whose teeth were of iron and the nails of brass, which devour and break in pieces and stamp the residue with his feet." Now remember that fourth beast, that last beast, what did it represent? It represented the Roman Empire. All those four beasts, they represent different world empires that went along the scenes, the time of the Gentiles. Now, the Roman Empire, we've learned in the last 2 weeks, it's not something, it's different than all the other ones because it has not been defeated. It fizzled out. It has gone by the wayside, but it had never truly ever been conquered. And that's when you're going to see here, and even see this, well, it teaches us a little bit more as the verses go along. It will be revived once again. It will be divided between 10 different kingdoms, and it will be one great world empire that will be led by the Antichrist. But let's keep on seeing here what it says here in verse number 19. "Then I would know the truth of the fourth beast." And then remember the description we saw earlier. It says, "which was diverse from all the others, exceeding dreadful, whose teeth were of iron, as nails of brass, which devour and break in pieces, and stamp the residue with his feet." Look what it says in verse number 20 here. It says, "And the 10 horns that were in his head, and of the other which were came up, and for whom 3 fell, even that horn that had eyes and a mouth that spake very great things, who look was more stout than his fellows." Now, here you look at verse number 20, it tells us a lot of different things. First of all, something does not come up and something does not grow out of what's dead. If you think about it, only living things produce things. These horns raise up out of this beast, referring that it's still alive. And the idea here that it's out of his head, and the other which came up before whom 3 fell, it talked about that little horn that came up that spoke great blasphemies, that spoke against God and talked about stout and his fellows. And then he comes and he subdues 3 of the nations and 3 of the kingdoms. It says in verse 21, "I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them." This is another sign here that you see that it's referring to the nation of Israel, that remnant of believing Jews. How could they make war with the saints that were in the church? Where is the church at? The church is in heaven. So there's no way that they could be making war. It cannot be referring to the New Testament saints here. As it made war with the saints and prevailed against them. And, you know, the Bible even talks about that in Revelation 3:7. It says, "And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And the power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations." He was making war with the saints, with these Jews. And now, who is that referring to? It's the Antichrist, that small horn that has popped up out of the 10 nations. You keep on going. It says, that was happening until when? And we learned about this last week. It happens until Christ returns. And that's why it says, "Until the Ancient of Days came and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High and the saints of the Most High. And the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom." So that's going to happen. And it's going to happen to the point where he's going to keep on making war with the saints. He's going to prevail against them till that last moment in time when they're getting ready to be pushed into the sea and completely destroyed. Jesus Christ comes on the scene and he ends this reign of the Antichrist and he begins to establish his kingdom. In verses 23 through 25, it gives us an explanation a little bit more about the fourth beast and talks a little bit more about the Antichrist. Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon the earth, which shall be diverse from all the kingdoms and shall devour the whole earth and shall tread it down and break it in pieces. So you see the description here. It's going to have over all tongues, all kindreds. This is going to be a world empire. And the 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings that shall rise. So you have the description that we hear of the fourth beast being the 10 horns. What are the 10 horns? It says there are 10 different kingdoms that will come on the scene. So it was saying that when the Roman Empire is redeveloped and revived, that they'll be divided into 10 different kingdoms. And another shall rise after them. We know that to be the Antichrist. And he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue 3 kings. So what will happen? These 10 kingdoms will come on the scene. Do we know what the 10 kingdoms are? No, we don't. Should we speculate what we are? Not really, because we're not going to be able to figure it out. But we won't even be here during that time period. Now, you could try to break it apart if you want to and try to, but there's no reason to try to figure it out. But this Antichrist will come and he'll subdue 3 of the kingdoms. And this will make him ruler over all the rest. And here in verse number 25, you see that he is against the Most High. He is against Christ. And he shall speak great words against the Most High and shall wear out the saints of the Most High. Now, he's speaking against God. And he's going to wear out the saints of the Most High. Now, wearing them out does not mean that they're beating them up with words. You know, sometimes a speaker gets up and they're preaching hard and they say, well, man, they wore me out. That's not what they're talking about here. They're referring to the affliction and the torture and the sufferings that he's going to do to the saints. And it says here, wear out the saints of the Most High and think to change the times and the laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a time and a times and a dividing of time. Now, he's going to change laws and times. He's going to change everything. And we are setting on the scene where we see laws being challenges and things that were one day in the past immoral and unconsidered by normal people, by moral people. Nowadays, is being changed over to where pretty much anybody's willing to swallow whatever. I mean, there is laws that people are just trying to force through government that would just curl your skin to get to know and understand what people are trying to say. Oh, this is okay. This is right. And that's what this man will do. This Antichrist will come on the scene. He will try to change. Now, if you look here at the end of verse number 25, you have how long it will take. Here, if you look at the end of verse number 25, it says, his hand unto a time and a times and the dividing of time. Here, the word time represents a year. And this word times represent 2 years. And a dividing of time represents a half a year. So if you have 1 plus 2 plus a half would represent how much? 3.5. 3.5. There you go. 3.5. Some of you are thinking, do I need to get my calculator out? 1 plus 2 plus half makes 3.5. And that's what we talked about. The tribulation period, the great tribulation period, is broken in 7 years. At the end of the first 3.5 years of the time of peace, the second 3.5 years will be the time when he turns. No longer is he peaceful. He becomes a dictator. Probably at that moment in time is when he subdues the other 3 kingdoms. We don't know why. Maybe it's a question of his power, and maybe they're not listening the way he wants. He drops his iron fist, and he begins to, and he got this, and they turn this against the Jews. He begins to punish. He begins to wear out the Jews for these 3.5 years. And that's where you see where we get the 3.5 years from. It says here in verse number 26, but the judgment shall sit. And that means that's only for a short period of time. And they shall take away his dominion to consume and to destroy it unto the end. So they're going to take away his dominion. They're going to take it all away. It's going to be taken away by Jesus Christ, as we saw over there as Christ was coming in verse 22. Verse 27 gives a description of the kingdom. Here it says, and the kingdom and the dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominion shall serve and obey. Hitherto is the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, my cogitations much troubled me, and my countenance changed in me, but I kept the matter in my heart. Verse number 27, you see that great description. Listen to this eternal kingdom that will begin with as it first appears as the millennial reign aspect. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people, the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. Now this is a future time. It's looking forward to the day when Jesus Christ comes back. He sets up his reign, his thousand-year kingdom. And you say, 1,000 years versus forever and ever, the millennial reign is how it first appears. Christ will never lose his dominion. Christ will never lose his power. So it is an eternal thing. But for the first 1,000 years, he sets it up. Now look at that last phrase. All dominions shall obey and serve him. Serve and obey him. That doesn't happen today, does it? I mean, does all the world serve and obey Jesus Christ? No. Does the church and Christians even serve and obey Jesus Christ? No, not really. Do you, I'll let you answer that one, obey and serve Jesus Christ? Tonight I'd like to look at this thought when we look at the reign of Christ. First of all, I want you to think of two things. First of all, who is worthy to reign in this kingdom? Secondly, are we serving the one who is worthy? Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. We'll jump right into the message. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for tonight. Lord, I pray that you help us tonight. As we look at these verses and give you a little understanding, hopefully the people can take away some nuggets out of this, some understanding first that you are coming back, and Lord, that you will have a kingdom that will reign someday forever and ever. We have something to look forward to. This world is not our home. Lord, we're just passing through. Help us to learn to serve you. Lord, you'll be worthy to serve and worthy to obey in that millennial reign and forever. But Lord, you are worthy to be served today. You are worthy of our praise today. Lord, you are worthy today. Lord, let us not wait till we get to heaven to serve you and worship you and obey you. Help us today instead to serve you and worship you like you deserve. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's look here in Daniel chapter 7. And I want you to look here once again at verses 13 and 14. And then we're going to head over to Revelation chapter 5 for a little while. Daniel chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, it says, I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of the heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him, and there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. Here's what I want you to get out of this. I want you to understand. I want you to take this home. I want you never to forget it. Jesus Christ someday will be served. Someday he will be obeyed. Someday he will be worshipped. Someday he will be set up to where there will be no other choice. But Jesus Christ, who does not change yesterday, today, or forever, deserves to be worshipped, deserves to be praised, deserves to be obeyed, and deserves to be served today just as much as he does then. Now, then we will have glorified bodies. Then we will not have a sin nature to deal with. Then we will do that. But I contend with you tonight that he deserves our praise today. He deserves our worship today. He deserves our obedience. He deserves everything today. Why is he worthy of this? In Revelation chapter number 5, you have the same story that's going on here in Daniel chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. Now, don't lose me here. I know some of you, prophecy, sometimes when we talk about it, sometimes it goes right over people's heads. If you listen, you'll get something out of this. But I want you to see this in Revelation chapter number 5. Same scene, same things going on here. If you look here in verse number 13, it says, Behold, one like the Son of Man came in the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days. You're going to see Jesus Christ coming to God the Father, taking a book out of the hand of God the Father in Revelation chapter number 5. That is the same reference to what's going on here. And then the kingdom will be given to him. Let's go ahead and now take it to Revelation chapter number 5. Revelation chapter number 5, you see the story here. We're not going to spend a lot of time here. We're not going to go and try to explain to you what each seal represents, what each beast represents. But I want you to get the main context here that compares to Daniel chapter 7, verse 13. Here in Daniel chapter number 7, verse 13, we saw that Jesus is coming, and he goes to the Ancient of Days, and the Ancient of Days allows him to get dominion, and it allows him to have this kingdom forever. Here in chapter number 5, verse number 1, what you have here, this is the king. This is during the scene at the beginning of the preparatory events of the Great Tribulation. I believe this is the church here with them. You'll see the tens of thousands upon the tens of thousands that you saw in Daniel chapter 7 just a minute ago. Those that worship him, they're here. I believe this is the church that's here. It's the preparatory events that happens during the Great Tribulation. After the Great Tribulation takes place or begins, it begins after chapter number 5 here. You see how it connects with Daniel chapter 7 in a second. Here is John speaking, Daniel chapter 7. You see Daniel seeing the vision. John is seeing the vision here and John and on the Isle of Patmos, chapter number 5, verse number 1. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? You might say, what is this book? I believe this book is the title deed of the earth. This is the book that shows ownership of the earth. And no man, it says in verse number 3, and no man in heaven, nor in earth, nor under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much. Who's I? This is talking about John here. I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. Now here comes the thought. Who was worthy to open the book? Who is worthy to reign supreme and king over all the years and be the dominion? It's Jesus Christ. Now you say, well, couldn't he find a good man? Couldn't he find a good pastor? Couldn't he find a Paul or a Moses or a David? Couldn't he find somebody else that could have been reigning all these years? There is no one that is worthy. The Republicans are not going to be able to fix it. The Democrats are not going to be able to fix it. No administration is going to be able to bring peace and have this dominion that lasts forever and ever. There is no one and no thing that is worthy. There is one that is worthy, and that is Jesus Christ. And here, no one in Adam's line was able to open the book. No one in Adam's line was able to take charge of this earth. There has been many that has tried to, and there has been many who has tried to conquer the world and bring about this kingdom. But there is only going to be one who will be able to open the book here. In verse number 5, it says, this elder speaks to, verse number 4, it speaks to Daniel here, to John, who's weeping. And one of the elders said unto me, weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. I don't know about you, but that's a good thing there. You know, there is nobody that's able to do it. There's no man that is able to accomplish this task, but there is one who has prevailed, and that's the Lion of Judah, and that's Jesus Christ. Verse number 6, I beheld, lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain. Now, who's the lamb? The lamb is referred to as Jesus Christ. The Bible refers to Jesus Christ as two different animals, as a lamb and also as a lion. The Lamb of Christ that was slain, where was he slain at? The Lamb of God, where was he slain? He was slain on the cross. He says, and having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. You say, Pastor, you're going to explain all that? No, that's not the focus of the message tonight. When we get to the book of Revelation some year, we'll go through all that stuff. But right now, the idea is, who is worthy? It's Jesus Christ. Why is he worthy? Well, come look at this. Verse number 7. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. Where do you, on verse chapter number 7, verse number 13, it says the Son of Man came to the Ancient of Days. And this is the same thing that is speaking about here, but in greater detail. And in verse number 8, and when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. Now, here you see that these elders and these beasts, what are they doing? They're worshiping. Why are they worshiping? It's because he's worthy. He deserves our worship. Verse number 9, and they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. So this is important here. Why is he worthy? It's because he has redeemed us to God by what? It says the blood. See, there is no other way that could have been redeemed. There is no other avenue. No one else could have redeemed earth back. You think about Jesus. He was the creator of the universe. He was the creator of the world. He redeemed the world. It belongs to him. And that is the reason why he is worthy to someday reign and reign forever. Why? Because he created and because he redeemed it. And now he is worthy to reign forever. And it says, and how did he make this happen? It's because he became the Lamb of God and was slain and redeemed mankind back to God and redeemed the world back from the sin and the curse of sin that it had on it. Verse number 10, and has made unto us our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld, I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beasts and the elders. Now I want you to think about this. I want you to look at this. I want you to get this. What's going on here? You see that there is thousands and tens of thousands and tens of thousands doing what? Worshiping Jesus Christ. Why? Because he is worthy. Now, if he's worthy then to be praised, if he's worthy then to be worshipped, if he's worthy then to be served and obeyed, he is worthy today also. Let's keep on going. It says, I beheld and heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000s and thousands of thousands. Now in Daniel chapter number 7 and verse number 10, I want you to just listen. If you didn't have, if you had your finger there, you can turn back. But it says, a fiery stream issued and came forth before him, and thousands, thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. Now, who is that? It's the same group. It's the same setting that's happening in Daniel chapter 7, verses 10 through 14. It's the same thousands and thousands and tens of thousands times tens of thousands. Now, if you couldn't get 1 plus 2 plus a half, we're not going to get thousands and thousands and tens of thousands times tens of thousands. That's a lot bigger number. We had to take our shoes off to add that one up. But at least Mr. Jack got that one. So, but it's the same scene here, the same picture that's going on. In verse number 12, look at what they're doing. Saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which was in heaven. Now look at this. Every creature which was in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as in the sea and all that are in them heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. Now, I don't know about you, but that's a lot of worshiping going on. That's a lot of praising going on. That's saying that everybody someday is going to bow their knee and going to worship and praise God. Praise Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, slain before the foundation of the world. Hey, Pastor, what are you trying to get at? It's the idea here, if he's worthy to be worshipped here, and if someday we're going to praise him then, shouldn't we praise him now? He is worthy. Why is he worthy? Because he redeemed us. How did he redeem us? By being slain on the cross for our sins. He bought us back. So, second point of the message is, who is worthy to rule the kingdom? Is Jesus Christ. In chapter verses 12 through 14, we see all that worship. And the second thing is, he is worthy of our worship. And are you worshiping him? You know, if all that other stuff confused you and you went over your head, then focus on this part. The Bible says in Psalms chapter number 8, verse 3, when I consider thy heavens and the works of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him? And the sons of man, and the son of man that thou visitest him? Now, you go back to that verse. I want you to think about that. When I consider, that means when I think about it, when I muse on it, when I meditate on it. When I think about this, when I consider thy heavens, is when you go outside, you see the up in the heavens, you see the clouds, you see the stars, you see all of the great majesty of the creation of God. He says, when I consider thy heavens, when I consider the work of thy fingers, it doesn't even talk about the strength and the power of the muscles and what the arms and legs and the chest can do. It's talking about the fingers, which doesn't have much strength. He says, when I consider the work of thy fingers, meaning that it did not take very much for God to create the world. He spoke in this. When I consider the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained, when I consider everything you've made, when I consider everything you've done, when I consider everything about creation, when I consider everything about how great and awesome you are, it comes to the point, says, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Now, why in the world do you even put up with this, is what he's saying. Why do you even think of us? If you have the ability to create the sky and the moons and the stars and all these things, why in the world do you even consider man? Why are you mindful of man? Isn't it amazing that he's mindful of us, but many times we're not mindful of him? Isn't it amazing that we're on his mind and he considers us and he loves us? He treats us with blessings, but we don't even consider or think about him. And it goes as even farther. It says, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visiteth him? You know, that Jesus Christ would leave his home in heaven to come and visit with us to redeem us back. I don't know about you, but when you consider him, you're going to worship him. When you think about him, and when you meditate on him, when you learn about him, you're going to worship him. When you serve him, you will worship him, because you'll see how great he is. When you consider him, you'll see him for who he is. When you meditate on him, meditate on his word, and meditate on his scriptures, when you see God in all the universe, in all of creation, when you see God working, when you see God moving, when you understand who we are and who he is, and how sometimes we like to think really, really highly of ourselves, and in all reality, we are just a tiny little speck in this whole grand universe that God has created, that we are nothing, but God still considers us. He's mindful of us. We can't do anything but worship him. We can't do anything but praise him. When we consider how great he is, and all the things that he's made, all the things he's done, we consider our bodies the way they are made, and how we are fearfully and wonderfully made. How a seed can become a plant and produce fruit that can help us maintain our lives. How the birds can fly and the fish can swim. And how this universe, our earth especially, is so intricately made. It can blow your mind. But are we considerate of it? He's mindful of us. Are we mindful of him? Because when we become mindful of him, that's when we're going to worship him. That's when we're going to praise him. Someday, during a millennial reign, someday up in heaven for Christians, we're going to be that in that scene in Revelation chapter number 5. And as the tens of thousands and the times of tens of thousands, they're going to be worshiping him. I mean, praise the Lord. We're going to be good at it. When it talks about singing that new song, I mean, it used to be a song of creation that the sons of man sang. Now it's a song of redemption that we're going to be able to sing. I mean, for the first time in my life, I'm going to be able to sing good. Praise the Lord. I'm looking forward to that. But you know what? Here in this world, really demonstrates how much I love him, because I'm going to sing today because I do it because I love him and I have a choice, because my sin nature, I can turn away and walk away from him and not praise him like he deserves. Someday, I'm not going to know any better but praise him. Someday, I'm not going to know any better but to worship him. And I should not, I don't really know any better than that today. I just don't do what I know is best sometimes. If he's worthy of that praise and that worship, then isn't he worthy of it today? You know, you get to those verses, you know, 13 and 14, and you go down to the end of that 20, in verse number 27, Daniel chapter 7, and it says, they served him, and they obeyed him. And then you go to Revelation chapter number 5, and you see in chapter verses 12 to 14 how they are just all there enamored with the Lamb of God, the one that's slain. The only reason why we have hope, no man could open the book. No man could do the reign. No man could take care of the Antichrist. No man could conquer and do what Jesus Christ had done. And they just fall on his on their face and say, you deserve to be praised. You deserve to be worshipped. That's the truth today too. Do you consider it? Think about these verses. 2 Samuel 22 verse 4 says, I will call on the Lord who is worthy to be praised. He says, he is worthy to be praised. He is. So shall I be saved from my enemies. Chapter Revelation 4 and verse number 11 says, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Think about that. Revelation 4:11. If you're there, because you were there in Revelation 5, look, just turn over the page, look at verse number 11. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. If we believe in the Bible, we believe in the Word of God, it means that we were created for his pleasure. Now, is there really anything too much that he could ask from us? Is there anything that we shouldn't be willing to do? Is there anything that we shouldn't be willing to consider for him? I don't know about you, but when I consider this future kingdom of Jesus Christ, he's going to get what he deserves in the praise and the worship. People are going to obey him and serve him. I think we should try to do better in doing it in our time, while we're here in this world, to praise him and worship him. It says, in that verse, it says, you're worthy of what? To receive glory. Whose glory? Our glory from us. Honor from us. Power. You know, our lives, our ability. He is worthy of it all. He is deserving of us. But not just what we want to give. He's deserving of all of us. So when you go back and look in Revelation chapter 5, and you go back and look at Daniel chapter number 7, you pierce through it and you see that all these other four beasts, these four other kingdoms, that stone that's made without hands, it says in Daniel chapter number 2, is going to come through and crush them. That's Jesus Christ coming in the clouds. He's going to take all four kingdoms. They're going to be gone. It's going to be his kingdom that lasts forever. And it's going to be a great time. It's going to be a time where people obey and serve and worship and praise him. I think that's the time, that's what our church should be doing today. That's what true believers should be doing today. Why? Because he's worthy. Why? Because of what he's done for us. He's redeemed us. And we should be willing to praise him. Let me ask you this question. And we're about ready to close. Not in Brother Hamlin's book of closing. We're actually getting ready to close. Think about this. How is your worship? How is your glorifying of him? How is it that you're doing when it comes to your consideration of him? So when I consider thy heavens and the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, you're going to come to the same conclusion the psalmist did. What is man? Who am I that thou art mindful of me? And when I consider how much God loves me and he's mindful of me, it's going to break my heart. It's going to say, he deserves my praise. He deserves my worship. He deserves all of me. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer.